Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you are listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to this hour of the Todd Starnes program. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. No, he is not taking the day off to take another lesson from the Tiger Woods driving school. Is that too soon? No, probably not. Actually, Todd sent an email this morning. He's a little under the weather. All is well, and I trust he'll be back with you tomorrow. It's my privilege to be with you today. Jeff Stein from Todd Starnes Radio Affiliate, News Talk 1540, KXEL in Waterloo and Cedar Rapids, Iowa, the 50,000-watt flamethrower, scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. Coming up at the bottom of the hour on this program, we'll speak with Matt Staver, the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. And this is, and again, this is what happens. Elections have consequences, and tomorrow the U.S. House will vote on the so-called Equality Act. And as you may well be aware, it is anything but equality, and it will affect every one of us. And so we will talk with Matt Staver of Liberty Council about that. They're on the Twitter machine, at Liberty Council, if you're interested. Also, lc.org for more information. That's at the bottom of the hour. And between now and then, we're happy to hear from you at 844-747-8868. Same number that you always use to speak with Todd on the air. Team Starnes will take care of the call and put it in the system, and we'll chat with you here on the radio. ToddStarnes.com is the website. You can follow Todd on the socials. He's on Twitter and Parler. Yes, again on Parler, at Todd Starnes. I am at Twitter and Instagram and Parler, all at the same address, at Iowa Politics, I-O-W-A Politics. Todd's website is ToddStarnes.com. My website is totallyiowa.com. You do hear Mr. Starnes talk about MyPillow on this program, and I was in conversation with Mike Lindell's people this past weekend, doing emails trying to get him on my radio program in Iowa. He's from Minnesota. You know, we're next door. We're friendly. And we were talking about specific days and times, etc. And then he got hit with the $1.9 billion cancel culture, file a lawsuit to shut you up kind of a legal pleading. And so now we can't do the interview. It is really, really scary, and this is me as a lawyer, in addition to doing radio, saying these kinds of lawsuits to stifle speech have a chilling, chilling effect on our society. And it's not just the lawsuits. That's why I think if we're going to start reforming the legal system, we ought to start with what's called a loser pay approach. If you file a $1.9 billion lawsuit against Mike Lindell, he's got to spend a ton of money to defend himself. And if he winds up winning, I say if, he'll wind up winning, but it's a broader conversation. You get sued, you have to pay to defend yourself. If you win, where do you go to get that money back? No place. And so these folks can file nuisance lawsuits all over the place. And if you had a system where you said, you want to sue somebody, that's fine, but if you lose, you run the risk of perhaps paying their legal fees. That's going to lead to some of these people thinking twice before they file these lawsuits that are all show and no go. The concept of canceling conversation just keeps extending. There's now all of these people in Congress who are attacking cable and satellite providers and saying, why do you have Newsmax on? Why do you have One America Network on? Why do you have Fox News on? Don't you think you should be a better American citizen and not have those horrible channels on? That's really dangerous, because stifling speech is not the answer. This country was founded on free speech, free from government interference. And when you've got members of Congress who have oversight authority over some of these satellite companies, these distributors, program distributors, when you have the arm of the government saying, don't you think it'd be a good idea if you kind of stifled that? That is totally contrary to the foundations upon which this country was founded. We make choices in a representative democracy when we have full information. We don't have full information if it is censored and silenced by the government or by private business who have the cloak of invincibility given to it by government, as is the case with so many of these companies. They insulate themselves from lawsuits. What I have found most, I'd say amusing, except none of this is funny, but what has been amusing is these people who say, well, I don't know what Newsmax and Fox and OAN, what are they worried about? You know, nothing's going to happen. You know, we may not like what they say over on those channels, but oh my goodness, what are you worried about? Nothing will happen. Really? Maybe Donald Trump could respond on Twitter. Oh, nope, no he can't. Maybe Mike Lindell can respond. Oh, nope, no he can't. Maybe all manner of people could respond except, oh wait, no they can't. And by the way, I still can't get images to attach to my parlays on Parler. I have a couple of different Parler accounts, one for one of my radio programs. I can post most of the time attachments there, but I can't on my radio station account or my personal account. I don't know. It's still not back. Still not back the way it was. So for everybody who wants to say, well, don't worry, they won't take your channel. Really? They won't take your Parler either. They won't get together to keep your merchandise from stores. They won't kick the leader of the free world off a social media platform. The very social media platform where when he tried to block people, when President Trump tried to block people from following him because they were posting nasty things in response, he was prohibited by a court from doing it because he was using it as a way to get information to the American people, and he's a public official, and we believe in transparency and openness, and so you can't block anybody, Mr. Trump. Sorry. Bad move on your part. You cannot block people. But yet Twitter can take the entire account? If that's the world we're living in, and it appears to be, then don't tell me that I have nothing to worry about, that certain sources of information will simply disappear from the satellite. Don't tell me that someday I'm going to go to Channel 216 on Dish Network and all of a sudden there will be a blue screen saying Newsmax is no longer available, but please watch this infomercial for Ginzu knives. I don't know. What are they selling these anymore? Because it's happening. The unthinkable is happening. And if you think it's going to turn around on its own, you're wrong. So in our previous hour, if you were good enough to be with us for that, if your station carried the previous hour or you were able to listen, if not, when you have a chance, go to toddstarns.com. The Toddcast will be there for you. But we were talking about solutions. And I do get this a lot from people, and I try to hold guests accountable for it when I have them on my programs. Okay, now that you've explained the problem, what's the solution? We're all pretty well aware of some of the problem. We're all aware of the hypocrisy. It's nice to be reminded of it. That does help an awful lot so that we understand what the fight is. What do you do about it? Well, I think what you do about it is at the very least you contact your elected officials. They're more accessible than ever online. Whether talking about U.S. House and Senate, your localities, your state house, you have to let them know that you're there. And then, if you have let them know how you feel and they don't vote in accordance with it, okay, then, in the next election, take some action, provided that we're not still stealing elections. That's a whole different discussion that we've had. But it's now time to do more than sit in the easy chair with, in my case, a cup of coffee, in Todd's case, a nice glass of sweet tea, and just say, oh, man, this is terrible. All right, we know it's terrible. Now get on the edge of your seat and do something. Pick up the phone. Send out a text. Send out an email. Let people know. Get involved. I'm not talking about storming any public buildings. I'm talking about letting them know that you're out there. We had a situation, I was reminded of this. We have a situation where there's an election reform bill in the Iowa State House. We don't have any real problems with elections, but the people who want to do some changes want to prevent problems. What? A proactive approach. I know it's kind of hard to believe. But they held a public hearing, and the number of people who spoke against this bill, leftists who apparently have figured out how to steal elections and don't want any changes because then they're going to have to figure out another way to do it, you know, 24 people signed up to speak against the bill. Only 5 spoke out in favor of it. Well, obviously, the loudmouths get a lot of attention. Those in favor of the bill probably didn't bother to speak up because they looked at the partisan majority in each chamber in my state, in the House and Senate, and know this is going to happen. Healthy Republican majorities in both the House and the Senate and a Republican governor. So they probably figured it wasn't worth their time. Well, here's the answer. It's always worth somebody's time. It is always worth your time to speak up and not take for granted that something's going to pass. And those who are against something are always more mobilized and more motivated than those of us who are for something. Why? Well, the whiners and moaners and complainers are always there. I mean, when was the last time you went to a store and went to the customer service counter and said, I am so satisfied with my shopping experience with this company. I just wanted to let you know. No, you go when you have a problem, when you got overcharged, when you want to return something. We know how to complain. We don't necessarily know how to reinforce when things are going well. So regardless of the issue, let your political representatives know how you feel. That's the first best step toward positive action. And then you can take it from there. We need to take a break. Why don't you call right now and get in before the end of the hour, 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. Matt Staver of Liberty Council joins us just after the bottom of the hour. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd, and this is The Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast, it's Todd Starnes.
It is always good to plan out radio programs like this. This being the Todd Starnes National Radio Program, coast to coast on your favorite radio station and streaming at toddstarnes.com. Todd is a little under the weather today. I'm Jeff Stein filling in. It's always good to plan these things. And then sometimes there are just happy accidents. For example, no one down at the Mighty 990 in Memphis running the rejoin music knew that I was going to talk about Bruce Springsteen next, but I have it on my screen, courtesy of Newsmax. The government has dropped drunken driving and reckless driving charges against the boss. That happened today. You may recall there was an incident last November, and the prosecution has said, yeah, his blood alcohol level was so low it really didn't warrant the 2 charges that they filed against him. Now, in one of my past lives, I'm a licensed attorney, and I did a lot of criminal defense work back in the day. And I can tell you, kids, this is kind of a pro tip for you. If you take a shot of tequila in front of a law enforcement officer, they're probably going to arrest you. I'm just saying, they're probably going to arrest you. I think I hit the cough switch. If not, you just heard me cough because I'm so choked up over this 2 shots of tequila thing. Bruce Springsteen admitted in court he had 2 small shots of tequila at this Gateway National Recreation Area. And so he did a video conference. They did that today, and he was next to his lawyer. And he said, yes, he knew it was illegal to consume alcohol. He had the 2 shots. And he was fined $500 for a charge of illegally consuming alcohol in a federal park. Fine of $500 plus $40 in court costs. Springsteen told the magistrate, I think I can pay that immediately, Your Honor. I would think. I would need to dig into a couple of different pants pockets, but he probably had the $500 on him. So he did 20. Again, you do this in front of the police officer, and then when they say, you know, would you take a test, and you say no, well, okay. Now, granted, only 0.02, that's a quarter of the legal limit. So, unfortunate situation, but the boss has paid his dues. He's done his time, and the drunken driving charge, which was pretty tenuous to begin with, was dropped. But once again, you take a shot of tequila in front of law enforcement and then get off on your motorcycle. Here's a guess. You're probably going to get picked up. It just happens. Sorry. We have an anniversary to note. Yesterday was the anniversary of the founding of the Republican Party. Now, folks in Wisconsin are probably going to take exception to what I'm about to tell you, but I don't care because I think we have the goods on it. It was on this date, or yesterday, February 23rd, back in 1854, that a group met in the town of Crawfordsville. Crawfordsville, which is in Washington County, appropriately enough, in my state of Iowa. They met in a church. They were abolitionists. Many of them had been Whigs, but the Whig Party was in shambles. So they got together and came up with a platform and nominated candidates for this new political party that wound up being called the Republican Party. February 23rd, 1854, born in Crawfordsville, Iowa. Now, this has been a source of debate with our friends from Wisconsin, because about a month after that meeting in Crawfordsville, Iowa, a group in Ripon, Wisconsin, held a big public meeting. And they claim that was the start of the movement for the Republican Party. My defense to that is, nuh-uh, that's the technical defense, nuh-uh, because you can't have the big public meeting in Wisconsin unless you wait for it had an organizational meeting in Iowa the month before. But in any event, somehow, at this same time, like-minded people were getting together. In Iowa, in Wisconsin, in New Hampshire, in Michigan, again, 1854. So you know how many states we had and how far west the country went, etc. But within 6 years, they had elected a president from this new party. What was left of the Whigs, long gone. Republican Party, founded in 1854, fielded a candidate for president in 1856, and then in 1860... they won the election, the brand new upstart political party. Candidate, by the way, Abraham Lincoln. 6 years after the party was founded, that party got Lincoln elected president. It was a lot easier to come up with a new party in those days because you didn't have politicians from the entrenched parties settled in Washington gaming the system. You go try to start a third party today or a new party, you're going to get blocked by the swamp monsters. But it was done once, and maybe it can be done again if necessary. Matt Staver of Liberty Council joins us after this short break. I'm Jeff Stein. Thanks for being along. I'm filling in for Todd, and this is The Todd Starn Show. And we welcome you back to the Todd Starn Show, coast to coast, on your favorite station and streaming online at toddstarns.com. Todd is just a bit under the weather today. All good thoughts go to him for quick recovery from this. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. And it is my privilege to be joined now on the Liberty University Newsmaker line by Matt Staver. Mr. Staver is the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. Mr. Staver, thanks for taking time to talk to America on the Starn Show. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, Jeff. It's good to be with you.
There is something that is so poorly named, it's an embarrassment, Equality Act. This is something that we need to pay attention to. remind folks who may not have been following this that closely what this is and what it means if it goes through the House tomorrow.
Well, it's called H.R. 5, the Equality Act, in the House, and then it's going to also go into the Senate, and the bill will be voted on by the House tomorrow and then sometime thereafter, next week perhaps, in the Senate. But it's anything about equality. If it were about equality, it would not include churches and places of worship and exclude, for the very first time, the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act from being a claim or defense. It includes LGBTQ, and in the Senate version, it says Q stands for queer, and that's their words in the actual Senate version. Well, what does that stand for? That is not only LGBT, but it is anything within the conceivable universe, which includes any conceivable paraphilia. It also includes abortion within this bill as well. And it applies to employment and public accommodation and a whole list of things. But when you think of public accommodation, it's not the public accommodation that we think of, because this goes down to every corner of our lives, including the person that's staying at home, does some hobbies or part-time sale of goods or a service or a program online. It says it doesn't apply. It's not limited to a public or a physical facility or a place. Up until now, you've always had public accommodations. You can identify it, such as a restaurant, a store. That's a place. And if they're not allowing someone to have access, it's a pretty easy understanding. They're not doing it on the basis of somebody's, for example, race. It's in that particular restaurant. That's what the issue is. Here, there is no place. It's not tied to a place or a public facility or a physical facility, I should say. And with the idea of the perceived or actual or your perception or your belief, even if your belief is inaccurate, you could be sued because somebody believed you did some action, even though you had nothing of the sort in mind to take an adverse action against anything. I mean, it's just absolutely staggering, the breadth of this bill. And, in fact, it will be a litigation boon for frivolous and harassing lawsuits.
Well, you're a lawyer. I'm a lawyer. I don't expect that everybody in the audience is. But we can understand very clearly what you just said, which is it has to do with the feeling or impression of the person claiming to be a victim, and not only gives no regard to, but completely removes as a defense what would be a logical interpretation. So, for example,
right. Exactly.
If I say something and I in no way mean it, I mean, we used to have a principle in the law that had to do with the common ordinary meaning of words. And so if a common ordinary person would interpret what was said to be a certain way, okay, that may be dispositive. This basically allows a rather unique interpretation of something that I may say as being a winning court argument, and that just turns the whole jurisprudential system on its head.
No, it really does. And so you really can't define a location because there is no location as it relates to public accommodation. And you can't identify the person who is allegedly aggrieved because it could be a perception. It could be a belief. Even if your perception, according to the person, they say, well, I think you did this because you perceived or had a belief about certain things. Well, that person can say, no, I had no such thought in my mind, but you're going to have to go through lots and lots of litigation to be able to even potentially win that kind of claim. It's a no-win situation. And when you're looking at LGBT, that's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, when you add the Q, it not only stands in the Senate version for queer, which when you look at the definition of that, that's everything in the entire universe, including paraphilias. But it also stands for questioning. That means that the person doesn't know what category they fit in. If they don't know, how can you be blamed for taking an adverse action against them if the person at issue is a Q, questioning, or if the person at issue is what is now a term used, a minor attracted individual? That is the term we have now seen come into vogue. And what does that mean? Pedophilia. That's what Q stands for. And it will include every church, preschool, K through college, for your overnight trips with your youth or your students. You can have a boy's side and a girl's side, but if a boy wants to go into the girl's side, that is under this law. You can't stop it. It would include dorms and sports, bathrooms, locker rooms, showers. It would include shelters for battered and sexually abused women. And so when you have something like that, they don't want somebody who is male coming in to bunk with them. They've just been abused by a male abuser or sexual offender. And yet the shelter would not be able to prevent that and say, no, this is only for battered and sexually abused women, not for men. There's another shelter and another place for men.
Matt Staver of Liberty Council joining us live on the Todd Starnes Show. He's a friend of the program. You can learn more about Liberty Council and watch a video on this very topic. It's right there prominently on their main page, which is lc.org. They are on the Twitter machine at Liberty Council as well. Now, I'm going to play the devil's advocate or just ask you to respond, because there are folks who think this is the most wonderful thing in the world, and they say that people like you are just trying to whip up a frenzy and you're reading things into the bill and all of that. What's the response? I think the response is just read the language of the bill and it speaks for itself, but I'll let you answer that, Mr. Staver.
No, it's exactly right. I've read both the House and the Senate versions of the bill, and it's frankly shocking. Just as an example, 1993, we had a bipartisan, overwhelming passage of the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Virtually everyone in the House and Senate, Democrats and Republicans and Independents, voted in favor of it, and it was signed into law by Bill Clinton. Since 1993, it's been the federal law. This is the first time now in 2001 that this particular bill says it doesn't apply. So you cannot use that as a defense. Why would they want to do that? Well, churches and religious organizations are covered. And we know for a fact that in the past, if a church or there's a case that went to the Supreme Court where a college had a discriminatory racial dating policy, they lost their tax exemption over that. So if a school doesn't comply or a church doesn't comply with the sports or the housing or the bunking or the restrooms or the showers or whatever, they could lose not only their tax-exempt status, but certainly even their accreditation, just as much as if you were to have a discriminatory racial policy. Loss of accreditation for these colleges and universities is a death knell for most of them, because the students wouldn't be able to get student loans, and even if you could afford to go without student loans, likely you wouldn't be able to get into graduate school from an unaccredited undergraduate in many of the graduate programs anyway.
Especially given the bias in higher education, and I can speak as someone who was a professor for 25 years. We're speaking with Matt Staver of Liberty Council. We're talking about H.R. 5, and if you go to lc.org, folks, click on the link right in the main page. What I really like, in addition to all of the information, including, here's the bill, read it for yourself, but you've got a nice two-page explanation that provides the key points so that people can understand. Talk again about the status in the U.S. Congress, and since we like to look for solutions, what should people do after they have read this if this does upset them the way that we're suggesting it should?
Well, on our website, lc.org, you can click on that rolling screen, but you can also go to lc.org/HR5, and you can send a fax, a petition, you can call your legislator, and I encourage to do all of those and send that information out to your friends. It's going to be in the House. The vote in the House is going to be close. They may well be able to pass it in the House by a very small margin, I believe, but the battle's going to really be in the Senate. Right now, we are working with senators, including Democrats, to preserve the filibuster, which would mean that you have to have 60 votes to overcome a filibuster. But here's the thing. We know that the Democrats in the Senate, because the filibuster rule is still there, they wouldn't be able to get the 60 votes, are going to try to do this as a voice vote, kind of in the shadows of the reconciliation bill. So there's going to be a lot of tricks to push this through as soon as it gets over to the Senate. So our real focus is obviously the House. We don't want to neglect the House, but we're going to have our firewall at the Senate, but that's going to be a real battle. So make your voice heard. I cannot overemphasize the importance of speaking up on this bill, because it is the most expansive bill, the most, I think, freedom-crushing bill that's ever come out of Congress.
And that's saying something when you consider the agendas of some of these people. It is just striking how quickly they have seized upon an opportunity of power to force this kind of change to our American way of life. And I can't reinforce strongly enough that majority in the U.S. House is not that great.
Right.
And so it's not going to take much to move things one way or another. So if you're a listener to the Todd Starnes Show and you say, well, my representative's a Democrat, so what's the point? There's a lot of point here, is there not? Everyone should, regardless, don't take anything for granted on this.
Exactly. And don't think that, well, I'm concerned, I agree with you, but I'm not going to take action because somebody else will. Every voice counts, because every vote counts. They don't have the margins that they had when this first came up in 2019. They had huge margins then. The margins now are very, very small in the House. So we could still win it in the House. And then we also have to focus on the Senate. If, in fact, it barely passes the House, we've got that firewall that we've got to make sure is stable and stays there on the Senate so that it never gets to Biden's desk for signature.
Because we know what will happen then. Mr.
Yeah.
Staver, thank you so much for fighting the good fight. Thank you so much for the conversation in Todd's absence. I appreciate it greatly, and best of luck as we try to block this tomorrow.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you.
Matt Staver, founder and chair of the Liberty Council. Again, lc.org is their website, lc.org, and we're talking about H.R. 5. And if you go to their website, either right there on the main page or, as he noted, lc.org/H.R. 5, and it has all the information you need about what this bill would do and how you should take action. And again, just reinforcing what we talked about in the first hour. You vote when you have the chance, and you need to consider every day another chance to vote, if you will, by weighing into your representatives, because they don't know any better. And if the other side is going to be loud, you need to be louder. Again, respectfully, civilly, not storming buildings, but you need to be loud. Or, if you're willing to sit back and watch your country be ruined, go ahead. I guess it's your choice. 844-747-8868 is the number. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Just a little under the weather. He'll be back soon. And this is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today, 844-747-8868. Same number as always. Give us a call and let us know what you think. I hate to talk about what's going to happen in the next hour of the program, because my listeners, if for some reason the second or a third hour of a program is preempted and they get all excited to stay tuned for something and then they miss out and then I hear about it, but if your radio station, by chance, isn't carrying this next hour of the program, or if you have to miss it, I don't know why you'd have to miss it. You need to block 3 hours out every day, but you can go to toddstarnes.com later for the Toddcast. You can always stream live, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Time here in God's country, noon to 3 out east. The rest of you do the math yourself. Toddstarnes.com, show streams live, coming up in the next hour. The founder of Papa John's, Papa John Schnatter, will be here to talk about cancel culture and something that he has recently done to show he's a far better man than any of those who replaced him. And then, All American Radio. That's a wonderful weekly program. Jennifer Kearns is the host, and she'll join us next hour to talk about the news of the day as well. I've had the great opportunity, not only on this program when I filled in for Todd, but also on my local program in Iowa, to talk with the noted author David Horowitz. You've heard of David Horowitz. his runaway bestseller, Dark Agenda. Wonderful book. Frankly frightening. I shared it with a friend, and they said, I cannot believe this, but it's all very true. You see, there's a war on Christianity, and Dark Agenda reveals the powerful forces who want to remove God from our schools, our military, and even our public life. Well, now Newsmax TV's Sean Spicer looks at the real facts about the dangers facing Christians and even Jews. Watch Spicer and Company at 5 p.m. Central Time, right in the middle of America, to find out the real truth. You know, millions are tuning into Sean Spicer on Newsmax TV. It's now America's fastest growing cable news channel. And it's available on DirecTV 349, Dish 216, that's how I watch it, Orbi 308, Fubo, Sling, AT&T TV, T-Vision, Jackson Energy Authority SD-141 or 751 HD, Xfinity 1115, and UVerse 1220. Check your channel guide. And if your system doesn't carry Newsmax, call them and find out why they don't. What you can do right now, though, is do like I've done. Download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone or on your smart TV. Do that right now and start watching. And get David Horowitz's book, Dark Agenda, and watch Newsmax for Spicer and Company. In my house, we have Newsmax on all the time, and that's because it's news you can trust. So tune in today, if you'd be so kind. 844-747-8868 is the phone number. We were talking about free speech at various times here, and I don't want to let the hour get away without noting that today is the anniversary of a legendary U.S. Supreme Court case, Tinker versus Des Moines Schools. Had to do with the fact that kids could actually speak their minds in a public school. Legendary case. And I just have to wonder if it would be decided the same way today. In this era of cancel culture, in this era of political correctness. Now, granted, it was a somewhat liberal voice that was being spoken in the Tinker case. It was an anti-Vietnam War protest case. But given the way that the left has become, I don't know what they do. Because it's not the key elites who are saying what to think and what to do. If we have time, we may talk about that next hour. Hey, if you have to leave us, thanks for spending this time with us today. Third hour of the program's coming up. It's at toddstarns.com. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd on the Todd Starnes Show.